You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Marlins reporter, Joe Frisaro. Joe, Happy New Year as we kick off the 2017 podcast campaign.
Oh, Happy New Year to Tim, to you, and to all the listeners, and let's hope for a happy, healthy, and a safe 17.
Yeah, seems like a good place to start is with New Year's resolutions, and I'd like your take on what the Marlins' New Year's resolution should be. If this team is going to be competitive in 2017, what do they need to commit to right now?
Yeah, I think kind of I'm going to go with the focal point in the organization and the guy who's still in many people's eyes, the face of the franchise, Giancarlo Stanton. The resolution, if they could keep him on the field, Tim. I mean, since 2012, just once he has played 145 or more games, 119 games in 16, 74 games in 15. And so if you could somehow keep Stanton on the field, that would be a very good start to 17. Or, you know, it would certainly set a good tone for 17 if they knew that they could get Stanton on the field anywhere north of 140 games, because just the power will be off the charts, because it's always been off the charts.
Health will obviously be a big key for this Marlins team overall. And another guy that they could use healthy all year long is Justin Bour at first base. And I think it was kind of an assumption maybe, Joe, that in some way he would be platooned again at first base. He's been so successful last year. He was really off to a great start before the injury. But now it sounds like the Marlins may give him a chance to bat no matter who's on the mound. Is that more and more likely?
Yes and no, Tim. Michael Hill, the president of baseball ops, kind of opened the door by saying that they are not necessarily heavily looking for an established right-handed bat. Mike Napoli has been out there, but the Marlins just have not shown any interest. Chris Carter continues to be out there. Again, no interest. And I think they probably will, obviously get somebody, because you never know if Justin's going to be able to hit left-handed pitching, because he doesn't have a big track record of doing so. I think only like 103 career at-bats, 30 last year, and no career homers against lefties. And, they've already talked about JT Realmuto, the catcher, playing some first base against lefties when A.J. Ellis, he's been a little more of an offensive catcher than they had with Jeff Mathis. So a good way to kind of get, a second right-handed bat and take advantage of JT. But, the eyes are going to be on Justin to see what he can do against left-handed pitching. And I think part of the thinking, Tim, is, last year they had Chris Johnson, and there's still a chance they could bring CJ back, but it doesn't sound like they want to throw guaranteed money at that spot, at least at this time. So, and plus, even last year, CJ had 5 home runs last year. So they had 21 home runs from their first base position, and 15 were from Bour, who played in, I believe, 90 games exactly. So they're not getting a ton of production from that right-handed bat anyway in terms of power. So I think they're going to want to see, how Justin does against certain left-handers. Obviously, I think the Kershaw types would probably lead to a day off for Bour. But, if he can show the ability to, to do anything against left-handers, that's a big threat. And as we see, starters are in the game for only so long, and then they come out. If they could get 2 or 3 at-bats and Justin, uses the whole field, which he has been doing more of, this is a big, strong guy. I mean, he was well on his way to 20 homers last year. As you noted, he finished with 15 home runs, and he had all 15 by July 2nd. He came back in September 6th. He didn't hit one the rest of the year. And, so this guy is a big-time threat and, a guy that they're going to be counting on. So I'm sure their thinking is, let's see what he can do against outfalls. And maybe, I still believe they probably will sign someone before spring training, or certainly if it looks like it's, a situation that they might get somebody, certainly by opening day. But I think they're looking for versatility in that role. I don't think it specifically has to be a Chris Johnson type, who they thought would be an automatic first base, start when a tough lefty's on the mound.
A healthy Bour, a healthy Stanton will certainly produce more runs for this team, you would think. But you were written on Marlins.com, Joe, about maybe a change in philosophy, that away from maybe some of the things that Barry Bonds taught. I mean, no question, he had a good impact on a lot of batters in this lineup. But are the Marlins maybe changing their philosophy to score runs in different ways?
Yeah, and I think a good part of that, too, is, Tim, look at the age we're in. I mean, look at MLB.com and the growth of StatCast and just the information at our fingertips. And you know, this sport, you better be paying real close attention to data. And I'm not sure Barry was totally doing that. That's not to say their game plans weren't fine, but as soon as the starters got out of the game, it seemed like they didn't have a plan for relievers. So I think you're going to be looking at, you know, an emphasis on launch angles and an emphasis on, you know, how you're being pitched to certain zones. They're already talking a lot about that. And you can see the charts on every player on the website, how a guy hits in the ball in a certain zone. And I think that's the philosophy. And in Pagliarulo, he's a grinder, you know, and he's going to be, you know, kind of that guy who's going to be really preaching that. And Frankie Minichino's back, too. And, you know, Frankie's been with these guys since 13. And, you know, so I think you're going to see, you know, just kind of that this is a big ballpark that it's hard to hit the ball out of, but, you know, they're really going to emphasize, you know, the gaps and try to, you know, see if they get guys to buy into those extra base hits and worry about, you know, the long ball, you know, when they catch it good. But I think that's the way they're going to look at it. Not necessarily they're going to go small ball per se or whatever, but I think they're looking for just to provide as much information to the batters as possible. And that information is endless. You know, these guys are on their computers, it seems like, as much as some of us, you know, looking, but there's so much data there. And I think that's kind of what Mike Pagliaro is going to bring in, just kind of a reinforcement that they're being pitched a certain way. They're strong here. They're not so strong here. And look at the totality of hitting. And I think that's kind of a change we're seeing in the industry in general.
The Marlins had some clear needs heading into the offseason. They've added to the bullpen. They didn't get the big guy at the back of the bullpen that they were originally after, but they added some talented depth and went that route. They've also added Edinson Volquez, Jeff Locke to the rotation. What's left to be done between now and when pitchers and catchers report?
Yeah, not a lot, Tim. I mean, you know, they basically, you know, I still believe they'll get a right-handed bat. Now, that bat could be someone that plays some outfield, and it could be like a Francoeur, let's say, who could play outfield and has already expressed an interest in playing some first base. So I think that, you know, they literally, you know, they have under guaranteed contract six relievers. Now, they've hinted that they may go with 13 pitchers and 12 position players. I'm not sure that's the greatest strategy for Mattingly. Maybe the first month that could work because it really, you know, shortens his bench. But, you know, I think that, you know, they still could add a reliever, but if it's a guaranteed contract, then you're going in the camp, barring an injury, with guys like Nick Wickgren, who pitched a lot of games, is a pretty good reliever, having really no chance of making the open day roster. And I've never seen the team in the 15th, 16th year now covering this team that they've ever had one area outside of, you know, starters or so, there you say there's no competition, you know, so I would be a little surprised if they signed a guaranteed contract to a reliever, maybe a left-hander, but they didn't seem to be that interested. You know, again, going to data that, you know, if you got Brad Ziegler in the eighth and Tozawa and, you know, Phelps in the seventh and Barraclough in the sixth or however you want to do it, you're not going to pull one of those guys out or pretty good just because Bryce Harper came up. You know, you still like Barraclough against Harper probably more than, you know, a guy that's not a high-end, you know, lefty specialist. So, you know, you could see, you know, a starting pitcher, you know, someone with a track record, I think if the dollars really fall on somebody, which is possible, I think you could see the Marlins getting a starting pitcher and, you know, another arm for depth, but I'm not sure that's going to be, you know, a guaranteed spot in the roster. As well as, you know, a couple of position players that, you know, if could play half the year in New Orleans and half the year up here, I think that's what they're going to be looking to be as strong organizationally as possible because, you know, they hung tough as we, you know, we talked a lot about last year, but about mid-August when the attrition finally caught up, that's when the foundation started to crack. But this was a playoff caliber team and certainly the standings, they were there up until that mid-August when things got bad. So I think it's going to be more, not the big name signings, but the type of signings that you might say, man, that was a pretty shrewd move that they made. And you know, they got this guy, and that guy was pretty good, and, you know, they're using him right, and they're getting production.
The Marlins have announced their non-roster invites for spring training, and some interesting names on the list, Joe. Who stands out to you as some guys who, while they're not headed to spring training with a guaranteed job, could have an impact on the Marlins in 2017?
Yeah, a couple of former Dodgers. You know, it's Stephen Fife, who had Tommy John surgery in October of 14. You know, he pitched for Mattingly. He's a guy who has been a starter. He could be intriguing. And Javi Guerra, who had 30 saves for the Dodgers and was the closer before Jansen replaced him. I believe he got hit by a comebacker and it kind of changed his career. And I think he also had a suspension mixed in there as well. But, you know, this guy has been a closer in the big leagues, and he could be interesting. Those two guys having, you know, pitch for Donnie and, you know, having some measures of success in L.A. And then, you know, Matt Dendecker, you know, he's an interesting guy because he's been in the division with the Mets and the Nationals. And, you know, Tyler Moore, who's a right-handed hitting first base option, that might be a guy who opens in New Orleans. And if there's an injury or if he catches fire and gets himself up to the big leagues, he could see time off the bench. So, you know, some of those guys caught my attention.
Good stuff, Joe. As always, again, Happy New Year. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Marlins edition. For Joe Fusaro, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.